Okay, thank you very much for coming. And today's daf is daf Yutes in Maseches Me'ilah. We're dealing with the topic. Yesterday we saw about the Gzeira Shava, the linkage that says Chet in regards to Me'ilah. And we have the same word Chet in regards to Truma. Now that's how we learn some of the laws of Me'ilah from the laws of Truma. So just as in Truma, the czar, the non-Kohen who eats Truma, so his benefit of enjoying the Truma also entails a degradation, a diminution of the Truma, because he's consuming the Truma. And the same is true with the sin of Me'ilah. The sin of Me'ilah is where the benefit entails a degradation. If the item is something which cannot be degraded or doesn't normally get degraded, like a golden choker, so then there's Me'ilah even without degrading Hekdesh, without reducing its value. Just the fact that a person got benefit from the Hekdesh would already trigger all the laws of Me'ilah. So then we saw yesterday that the Braisa went on to say, if we're comparing it to Truma, so maybe Me'ilah should only be in something which has degradation, like Truma. Why is it that there is other types of Me'ilah? So the answer is because it says Tim Olmal. So Tim Olmal is to include even Me'ilah where there is no degradation, just benefit. Even Me'ilah where it's two people together getting the benefit. So the Gemara says again, if we compare it to Truma, so maybe we shouldn't have the ability of combining different acts of eating. How do we know that in Me'ilah you can combine different acts of eating to trigger the Me'ilah violation? Again, it's from the phrase Tim Olmal. And so finally the Gemara says, if you're comparing it to Truma, so maybe we know that in Truma it's one person doing the whole thing. So maybe in Me'ilah also should only be one person doing the whole thing, which would be Me'ilah. I don't know that you could have Me'ilah even though you start it now and you only do it 3 years later. So the Gemara says again, it's from Tim Ol Ma'al. That's what we had gotten up to yesterday. We're at the last line now on Yud Ches Amud Bey. So the Gemara now says another point. If we're comparing Me'ilah to the laws of Truma, we should say, just like Chet said in regards to Truma, we're now starting today's daf. Ad Sheyetze Min HaKodesh Lachol. What is the sin of Truma? Someone who is taking an item of Truma, which is holy, and he eats it. He's not allowed to eat it. He's the non-Kohen. And he eats the Truma. That's the sin. So he's basically taking it from being holy to being non-holy. So too, we should say with Me'ilah, it's only when you take it from the holy to the non-holy. Min HaKodesh LaKodesh. But if you take holy and misuse holy from one holy purpose to another holy purpose. Let's say, for example, a person takes some of the half shekels that were given by the nation for communal sacrifices, and he goes and he steals those half shekels from the temple, and he goes out to the market in Yerushalayim, and he buys a personal sacrifice with them, and then he takes this animal that he bought, he offers it as his chatas, he offers it as his asham. Now that's also Me'ilah, even though it went from holy to holy. So, min hakodesh lakodesh, how do we know that going from holy to holy is also Me'ilah? Kagon, for example, lakach kine zavim, kine zavos, kine yoldos. Let's say he takes coins that were made hektesh, and he uses them to buy, you know, the nests, the two birds that a zav needs to bring, the two birds that a zava needs to bring, the two birds that a woman who gave birth needs to bring, or a situation would be shakal shiklo, he took his half shekels that he's supposed to give to the Beis HaMikdash, and he took coins that were holy and he used the coins that are holy for his half shekels. So instead of giving his own money as a half shekel, he took money that had already been consecrated and gave that as the half shekel. Or hevi chataso v'ashamo min ha-hektesh. He took coins of hektesh and he used them to buy his carbon chatas and his carbon asham, and he used that those animals as his chatas or his asham. And how do we know that in those cases we know that kevan shehotzi, once he takes them out, in other words, once he brings those animals into the azara, he's already fulfilled mi'ilah, according to Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yehuda says no. Bringing the animal that he used hektesh money to buy an animal for his chatas. So once he brings it into the azara, he hasn't yet done mi'ilah. Achizuka sadam. Once the animal is slaughtered and its blood is thrown, at that point, he has done mi'ilah. So again, bottom line is, how do we know that there would be mi'ilah when someone misappropriated the holy for a different holy purpose that it's not designed for? He took coins that belong to, let's say, Bedek Habayis, and he used them to go buy for himself a carbon that he has to bring, or to give half shekel that he has to give, or to buy a chatas, and he brings the chatas into the Beis HaMikdash, or he throws the blood of that chatas onto the Mizbeach. So how do we know that's also Me'ilah? If you're learning Me'ilah from Truma, Truma is where a non-Kohen who's not entitled to the Truma eats the Truma. So he takes it from being holy, its right purpose, going to the Kohen, to being unholy. But Me'ilah applies even from holy to holy. If we're comparing Me'ilah to Truma, we should say, just like Truma is only from holy to non-holy, Me'ilah should only be from holy to non-holy, not from holy to holy. Again, the answer is Talmud Lomar, since the pasuk says in regards to Me'ilah, Tim Olmal, a soul that will do a Me'ilah. So repeating the term Me'ilah twice, Tim Olmal, that's to tell me that it includes lots of forms of Me'ilah, so it includes this as well. So on the one hand, we have the Gzeira Shava Chet Chet from Truma, so we learn certain laws from Truma to Me'ilah. On the other hand, we have a phrase, Tim Olmal, which is very inclusionary, so that includes all sorts of scenarios of Me'ilah that wouldn't be within the violation of a non-Kohen eating Truma. Okay, that was the Braisa. So we are now on the two dots on Yud Tes Amud Aleph here in Maseches Me'ilah, dealing with the topic of the derivation of Me'ilah and Truma. Amar Mar, we just learned in this Raisa. The verse says, Nefesh Kisim Al Ba'ashem V'chata Bishkaga, right? The whole Pasuk, a soul that will commit a crime against God, a misappropriation, and do a sin by mistake, Bishogeg. So the Braisa said, why did it say Nefesh? To tell you that it applies to all souls. Echad Yachid, whether an individual, Echad Nasi, or a king, Echad Mashiach, or a Kohen Gadol, B'mashma. They're all included. If any of them take the holy items and misappropriate them, they are violating Me'ilah. They need to give back the amount, another fifth, they need to give a karban. Nefesh, it applies to any soul. So that's the why it says Nefesh, to teach you that it applies to all souls.
If they borrow it with permission from the Beit HaMikdash, is still Me'ilah, Rabbi?
You mean, is the Beit HaMikdash charging interest?
Let's say, is the table there, and the guy has a SIM card, he borrows it from Beit HaMikdash.
It's not a shul.
To use it
for I don't think he's allowed to. He's not allowed to. Beit HaMikdash is not allowed to lend it out.
Even though he has everybody's permission that he could bring it
back. You're not allowed to. The Gizbar is not allowed to. Only the Gizbar could use it for the sake of Hektish, but if he used it for himself, it would then be Me'ilah.
Bring back the stuff. Or...
That's for sure. Yeah, question.
Even if you don't get benefit, it's still Me'ilah, right? If you do property that belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, and you got no benefit from it, right?
But isn't that always a benefit? The stealing, owning it, having it now?
I'm confused. Why is Rabbi Yehuda saying that he hasn't gone to Me'ilah until he throws the blood?
Because this is because Rabbi Shimon holds that once you brought your carbon into the Azara, you've fulfilled your karban. Whereas, according to Yehuda, you haven't fulfilled your karban until the blood is thrown. So you haven't really taken it from Hekdesh, if you have it, right? You took money of Hekdesh, you bought an animal with it.
So then that's made up.
Not necessarily, because it could all still belong to Hekdesh, right? It's money, Hekdesh monies. Who says it's going to actually be used for you, right? It could end up being used as a carbon tzamid. It could be used as a carbon musaf. It's not, you haven't yet gotten anything. So according to Yehuda, once you've brought your carbon into the, according to Rabbi Shimon, once you brought your carbon into the Azara, so you've now gotten, you don't have to bring the carbon. You fulfilled your karba. Now this item's been used for the person and not for the community. Whereas according to Yehuda, it's only been used once the blood is sprinkled. Okay, so again, we learned in the Braisa that since it says Nefesh teaches that Me'ilah applies to all people. An individual, a Kohen Gadol, a king, any of them who do Me'ilah. Ah, very good question. Right, so as Fred asks, of course, right? If a pasuk says, if we say the word ish or say the word nefesh, of course it means people, any people, right? A king suddenly doesn't have the law of Me'ilah. Why would we think that he wouldn't have the law of Me'ilah? That the Braisa should teach us that he has the law of Me'ilah. So that's what the Gemara asks. It says the Gemara, Sheyachol Mai. In other words, what else would you have thought? It's pshita, it's obvious. Nefesh ksiv, the Torah says a person who will do me'ilah. So a person means all people. How could you have thought, it wouldn't apply to a king, it doesn't apply to a kohen gadol, you need a braisa to say, since it says nefesh, it teaches me it applies to all people, to a king, to a kohen gadol. It's obvious. So the Gemara answers, no, ma'od detaim, I would have thought to say the following. Since the Torah says about the anointing oil, the Shemen HaMishcha, that there was a law that, Ho'ov Amar Rachmana, since Hashem said, Vashayitim Imenu Al-Zar, and the end of the pasuk is, V'nichras Me'amav, anyone who takes the oil of Shemen HaMishcha and puts it on someone who's not entitled to have it, that person gets kares. There's a terrible sin of misusing the Shemen HaMishcha. Then I would say, the Kohen Gadol and the king, Bahai Lav Zarhu. We know that the king and the Kohen Gadol are not strangers. They do get the Shemen HaMishcha on them. So they don't have this sin of don't put Shemen HaMishcha on this guy doesn't apply to them. They had Shemen HaMishcha. The Ha'imshich Begaveh, that's how you anoint the Kohen Gadol, that's how you anoint the king. So I would think if that's the case, just like there's no misappropriation of Shemen HaMishcha with them, maybe they don't have the law of don't misappropriate Hekdesh. They don't have that law, because normally no one else is allowed to get any benefit from Shemen HaMishcha, but they could. So if they could get Shemen HaMishcha, maybe they could also get benefits from Hekdesh, etc., for themselves, and it wouldn't be Me'ilah. That's what Kamash Mulan, that's what the Tanya had to tell you. No, since it says Nefesh, Nefesh means any soul means even an individual, even a king, even a Kohen Gadol. Yeah, Izzy had a question? No. A person, a regular person. Because it does apply for two people. If two people do it together, we saw earlier that is Me'ilah. No, Yachid meaning individual, hedyot, like a regular person.
But Rabbi, they benefiting from the oil for anointment.
Yes.
So isn't that a?
It is.
Me'ilah.
It's not Me'ilah though, because that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that they should have, this is what the oil is for. It's for,
from, I know, but
this is their mitzvah to make them into.
Hashem and Atova, Yared al Arosh, Zakan, Zakan Aaron,
Shared al Kibbutz. They're like the liberals, they get away with anything they want, right? All right, let's go.
Okay, so now going back to the Braisa. The Braisa then went on to say that there is a linkage to three other things. Like the word Mi'ilah means a straying, and we learned that from the usage of the word Mi'ilah in regards to a sota, straying wife, Avodah Zara, and Truma. So the Gemara says, the Braisa said, Va'aksha Rahman Hashem compared Mi'ilah of Hekdesh to a sota, to Avodah Zara, and to Truma. from a sota, l'sota, da'afal gab de lo pagam, even though the sota doesn't get degraded through her straying, her action is still a mi'ila. So gabe hektish nami, in regards to hektish too, nasna taba'as biyada, if a woman took a ring of hektish and put it on her finger, even though it doesn't get degraded, ma'ala, it would be mi'ila. Now, ki akshi rachman al avodas kochavim, the fact that the Torah connects mi'ila to avodah zara, to idol worship, that's to tell you the following. Just like in avodah zara, to ad ispe shinui, right? That a person is changing from following Hashem to following avodah zara. So he is degrading to some degree the honor of Hashem. So therefore, gabe hektesh nami, what is the type of mi'ila of using a hektesh axe, a hektesh item? Adibika bekardom, that if he's using an axe of hektesh to cut the wood of chulin, v'yivgom upagom, it would have to be that the axe gets damaged somewhat and degraded through the usage. And finally, these are two different things.
Didn't they just say that as long as you remove Magdash, you won't get benefit of anything, you have to damage it?
So we're saying that there are different types, right? There is the mi'ila of items that normally do get degraded. Items that normally do get degraded, there has to be a degradation in the mi'ila. And for items that normally do not get degraded, you don't need to have a degradation in the mi'ila, just to have a benefit through the mi'ila. Just the benefit creates mi'ila. So that's learned from different psukim. That the fact that the Torah links mi'ila to sota, just like in sota, she's not necessarily degraded by what she did.
Right.
So too, mi'ila could be even without a degradation. And the fact that mi'ila is learned from avodah zara is that in those things that are normally degraded, then the mi'ila in them is only if they were degraded in giving you the benefit.
It depends on the item.
Is the item normally depreciated in its normal usage? Or is an item that only gets depreciated after thousands of uses, very rarely? So a ring gets used again and again. It doesn't get worn down. Eventually it gets worn down, but not normally. Whereas an axe, every time you use the axe,
right,
you're chipping away at that axe. It breaks after
a
couple of uses.
You presumably had a benefit that was at least the pruta, and that's why you're...
The benefit, correct. The benefit is the pruta. And now,
Akshay
Rachmana, then Hashem has compared the word mi'ila to truma, to tell you, ma truma, just like in truma, it says, ki yochal, when a person, a non-kohen, will eat the truma, prat lemazik, to say that if a person just damages truma, he doesn't pay back a fifth, he just gives back what he damaged. Gabe hektish nami, so to regards to hektish and mi'ila, called the barachila, when it's a food item, ki mazikle, if he didn't eat it, he just damaged it, potter, he doesn't have the law of mi'ila, it would only be the law of nezikin, which may not apply to hektish. Okay, then the Mishnah went on to give an example. Ketzad, what's an example of an item that doesn't depreciate? An item that you benefit from it without it becoming worthless. It doesn't get degraded. Ketzad, what would be an example? If nasna katla betzavara, a woman takes a golden choker, this piece of jewelry that's very tight against her neck, that had been made holy, been given to Hekdesh, and she uses it for the fancy party, for the ball. She wears it. Now, it didn't get degraded, but it is a value. She got a hana. She got a benefit of a pruta. If she would want to have that jewelry, she'd have to go rent that jewelry at the costume jewelry store. So she got a benefit, and she would have mi'ila. She has to pay back the amount, add a fifth, give a karban. Because even though it wasn't degraded, it wasn't diminished in its own value, but it's not an item which is normally diminished. So, asks the Gemara, Amalei Rav Kahana L'Rav Zvid, Rav Kahana said to Rav Zvid, is that true that gold doesn't get degraded? V'dav olav bariv gumahi, is a golden item, not something which gets degraded. V'hadav odekalse denun, what about the gold that belonged to the daughter-in-law of this fellow Nun? Nun was a very rich man. He gave his daughter-in-law golden jewelry, and he weighed them, And, you know, there was a certain weight. I don't know, it was 2 pounds or whatever. He gave it to her. And then after a while, he weighed it and it didn't weigh as much. So, Lehecha Azal. So where did that gold go? So apparently, over time, with the gold, it does get degraded. So how could the Mishnah say that gold is an item that doesn't get degraded? Gold is degraded. We see what this man knew. And he gave his daughter-in-law gold at a certain weight, and then it didn't have that amount of weight. So Amalei, so Rav Zvid said to him, Dilma Daba Deramyan Kala Sechu. Maybe that gold went to where your daughters-in-law put their jewelry. In other words, maybe the gold of Nun doesn't prove anything, because she was irresponsible with the gold, because she knew her father-in-law was very rich and he could give her more gold. So that's why it ended up getting ruined. But typical gold.
Maybe it was not good gold.
Maybe it wasn't good gold. He was saying this tongue-in-cheek. He was saying maybe regular gold doesn't get reduced. But the gold from Nun, because Nun was so rich and he had so much gold, they were reckless with it, like our daughters-in-law are reckless with the jewelry that we give them. But and furthermore, Nihi Delo Ika Neno Pagam La'alter. The point of the mission is like this. It could be that the gold doesn't get degraded right away. However, La'ola Milo Ika Pagama, but over a lot of time, it does get degraded. So the daughters-in-law of Nun, that's the real answer, the daughters-in-law of Nun, they were wearing this gold for years and years. So eventually, yeah, it weighed less. But it's not like a food item. A food item, you eat it right away, it gets degraded. An axe, right away, when you use it on the piece of wood, it's going to be damaged. It doesn't have that long of a shelf life. Whereas gold, it has a long shelf life. So yeah, over time it gets degraded. But since the immediate usage is not going to degrade it at all, it's still called something which is not degradable, something which doesn't get damaged. Therefore, just getting the benefit is already the mi'ilah. Yes, exactly. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Hanana min achatas, someone who benefits from a chatas is not going to do me'ilah unless he reduced the value of this chatas. Ask the Gemara, let's take a look. If we're talking about an animal which is whole, which has no blemishes, which is about to be a karban, so then, even if you reduced its value, so what? So you took away some of the wool. You can still offer it as a carbon. Why is that ni'ilah? It should be koshel zahav. It should have the status, it should be, since it's still usable, so it should be like a golden cup. And we should say that as long as you got benefit, there is mi'ilah, even if you didn't reduce its value. So I'm going to have papa v'balas v'maskina. We're talking about a chatas, which already has a blemish. Since a chatas already has a blemish, we're waiting to sell it and then use the money to buy some other animal. So now if you reduce it, now you've reduced what you have to sell. You've reduced its value. So then it's only me'ilah if you got a benefit, and through the benefit you reduced its value. Okay, now starting your test, Amud Beis. The Mishnah. Hanene kechatzi pruta. Let's say a person wore a garment of hekdesh, and that act of wearing this garment was a benefit of half a pruta. Upagam, and also through wearing it, he reduced its value, kechatzi pruta. He reduced its value of another half a pruta. Oshenene b'shava pruta, or he benefited from hekdesh, a whole pruta, b'davar echad, with one item, right? Let's say he wore a garment of hekdesh carefully, he didn't reduce its value at all, but he got a benefit of a pruta. Upagam b'shava pruta b'davar acher. And he took something else, he took a cup which had hekdesh wine, and he poured out a pruta worth of the hekdesh wine. So in these cases, lo mal, it wouldn't be me'ilah. Ad shi'ehene b'shava pruta. When is it me'ilah? If he gets a benefit of a pruta, the yivgon b'shava pruta, and at the same time he's reducing the value of this item that he's benefiting from, a pruta worth of reduction, bidavar echad, all in the same item. Okay, another law. Ein moel achar moel b'mukdashin. If something is consecrated to Hashem, there's no two me'ilas in that item. There's one me'ila and that's it, because the once a person is mo'el, so through the me'ila that causes the hektesh to lose its sanctity, it now is yotzei l'chulin. Once it's yotzei l'chulin, there wouldn't be me'ila for anybody else to use it. So somebody takes some coins of hektesh, and with the coins of hektesh he goes and he buys a ring, and he gives that ring to his wife to marry her. So now those coins in the hands of the jeweler are not kadosh anymore. There was me'ila done with them, they become chulin, the jeweler uses them, he is not violating me'ila. So again, ein mo'el achar mo'el b'mukdashin, there is no me'ila after me'ila in a holy item, ela except behema, an animal that is about to go onto the mizbeach, an animal that is whole, a tamim animal, ukli shares bilvad, and a holy vessel. These holy vessels, even after they are used, they stay holy, so therefore there can be me'ila after me'ila. Ketzad, what would be an example? Rachav al gabi behema. Let's say a person had consecrated a sheep to be an ola. Somebody sits on that sheep and rides on it. And then uvachaver, then his friend comes with rachav, and he also rides on it. Uvachaver, and his third friend comes with rachav and rides on it. Kulan malu, all of them did me'ila. Similarly, shasa bekoshel zav. Let's say there's a holy vessel of gold to catch the blood or to transport the wine, and a person fills it and he drinks from that cup. Uvachaver, then his friend comes to shasa and he also drinks from the cup. Uvachaver v'shasa, and a third friend drinks from the cup. Kulan malu, all of them are violating me'ila. Talash menachatas. If a person pulls hair off of an animal which is a chatas, uvachaver, then his friend comes with talash and also pulls hair out of that chatas animal. Uvachaver v'talash, and his friend came and pulled hair out of that animal. Kulan malu, they all were mo'el. The reason is because in all of these items, whether it's going to be a karban, a chatas, or a klishares, these are things that are never redeemed, and so they stay in their holiness, and so therefore there can be me'ila after me'ila. However, Rebbe says, kol davar she'ein lo pegam, any item, kol davar she'ein lo pigeon, right? So any item that doesn't get redeemed, so then yesh bo me'ila mo'el achar me'ila. There is a me'ila after me'ila because it's not normally redeemed. Says the Gemara, mani masnisin, who is the view of this Mishnah that says that in a holy vessel there can be me'ila after me'ila? Answer the Gemara, Rabbi Nechemiah. This is the view of Rabbi Nechemiah. The Tanya lived in a braisa, ein mo'el achar mo'el, ela b'behema bilvad. There's only me'ila after me'ila in an animal going to be a carbon. Rabbi Nechemiah says no, behema and in klei shares, a animal as well as a holy vessel. My time of the Tanakama. What's reasoning of the first view that says there's only me'ila after me'ila in an animal? Kasavar, he holds that the verse that says there can be me'ila after me'ila bin yanad behema ksiv was written about animals that are holy, and therefore it only applies to an animal that's holy, but not to anything else. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, va'kohen yechaper alav, the kohen will atone for him, be'el ha'asham, with the asham ram, v'nislach lo, and he will get forgiveness. And this whole pasuk is extra. The verse had already said, behavius asham o la'asham, ayol tamim la'asham. So why did it say again, v'chiper alav ha'kohen be'el ha'asham? That's to say that there can be me'ila after me'ila. So, since there could be me'ila after me'ila, it's about animals, it's only about animals. However, Rabbi Nechemiah Malachar, Rabbi Nechemiah will tell you, it's a kal v'chomer. Im acherim mevi likdushasan, right? We have this power to holy vessels, that the holy vessels can make things holy, and by making them holy, now they can have me'ila, who atzma lo kol shekein. Certainly the holy vessel itself has great sanctity, and the holy vessel can have me'ila after me'ila. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi said, kol davar she'ein lo pidyon, any item that does not have redemption, then yesh bo mo'el achar mo'el, has me'ila after Me'ila. Ask the Gemara. Ainu Tanakama. That's the same thing as the Tanakama. Things that are not going to be redeemed, like a klisharis or a whole carbon animal, have Me'ila after Me'ila. So Amar Rava, Rava explained, Ika Beinai, there is a difference between them in regards to Eitzim. If someone were to donate wood for the Mizbeach, the Tan Rabbanim lived in a Braisa, our holy rabbis taught us. Ha'omer, if someone says, Hare Alai Eitzim, if a person says, on me is incumbent an obligation to give wood to the Mizbeach, lo yivchos mishnei gzirin, he has to give at least 2 logs of wood. Rebbe Omer, and Rebbe goes on to say, Eitzim karban hein. The wood itself is a karban. The wood is a karban. The kohen has to be the one to bring them. Utunin melach. So like any karban, you need salt. You have to put salt on the wood. Utunin agasha. And like a mincha that's presented to the mizbeach, you have to present the wood to the mizbeach. So now, according to Rebbe, wood is a karban. And since wood that's donated to the Mizbeach is a carbon to the Mizbeach, so therefore in wood that was donated to the Mizbeach, it would be like an animal donated to the Mizbeach, and yesh bo moel achar moel, there could be me'ila after me'ila. However, according to the Tanakama, wood is not a carbon, it's just a donation to the Mizbeach. So therefore, if it's just a donation, it has the sanctity of the temple, you know, boards, the temple floor, that's the Bedek Habayah sanctity, so it can be redeemed. If it can be redeemed, it doesn't have Moel Achar Moel. Once there's a Me'ila, it's Yotze L'chulin, it goes out and becomes Chulin, and then there's no Me'ila afterwards.
What was the purpose of salt?
Because it's a carbon. All carbonos get salt. Sprinkle some salt on the wood and then bring it up to the Mizbeach. Amar Rava, Rava said, L'divrei Rabbi, according to Rabbi, who says that the wood is a carbon, Eitzim, Te'unin, Eitzim, that you have to have other wood to burn this wood. When you donate wood, there have to be some other wood that's going to help burn this wood. Amar Rav Papa said another law, L'divrei Rabbi, according to Rabbi, that the wood is a carbon, Eitzim, Tzrichin, Kmitza. You have to chop up the wood into little slivers, and you have to take a fistful, the Kohen has to take a fistful of it and throw it into the fire. So the Torah teaches in regards to redeeming kadshim that sometimes there's a law of ha'amada v'ha'aracha. You have to stand it up and then assess its value based on that. Redeem it. So an animal, let's say, that was consecrated, and before he had a chance to stand it up, it just died. So he can't stand it up, so he wouldn't be able to redeem it. The Torah says about Ha'amada V'Aracha, Behema Tmeya. So what does that mean? In Masechet Tmura we learned, does that mean a non-kosher animal that was dedicated? Or does it mean a kosher animal that was dedicated, but it's tmeya to be offered because it had a blemish? So Rav Papa said like this. Kadshei mizbeach tamimin. Let's say you have a karban. It was, you know, an animal. It had no blemish. And then v'nasu bali mumin. Then after it was consecrated, it got a blemish. So now you're supposed to redeem it. V'avar v'shachtan. But instead of redeeming it, a person slaughtered them. So now that also would be Ika Beinayu, that would be a difference between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Well, Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa, Kadshim is Be'ach Tmim, when you have a carbon that is unblemished, Menasu Bali Mumin, then it becomes blemished. Ba'avar V'shachtan, and somebody slaughtered them before redeeming them. Rebbe, Omer Rebbe says, Yikaveru, they should be buried. Rebbe said they should be buried. No one should get benefit from them because this law of Hamada Baracha applies. Once they're slaughtered, you can't stand them up. You can't redeem them. So here, when this is something which doesn't have redemption, according to Rebbe, so then there would be Me'ila Achar Me'ila. If one person is moel from it, then the next person could be moel from it. However, Chachamim say no. The law of Hamada Baracha doesn't apply to Karbanos. karbanos, even once they're blemished, you could redeem them without hamada va'aracha. So chacham say yipadu, these things could be redeemed after they are slaughtered. So since they could be redeemed, there wouldn't be moel achar moel. If someone would be moel, that would make it become chulin. And the next person who's Moel would not be violating Me'ilah. It's just using what is secular.